told so much as adults that, like, oh, you got to be proper and you,
right, yeah,
you know, but we actually, it's really healthy to tap into that childlike state. And sometimes when we need to talk about those blocks, sometimes those blocks come from our childhood. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we need to be silly and tap into some of those past events and things to work through them, those past emotions.
Hi, welcome to Motivation to Write, and I am very excited for our guest today, Miss Noelle Anderson. She is a music therapist, and she's going to be giving us some tips on how we can use music to de-stress. But before we get to Noelle, let's catch up. I have a new page on my website, zazo.com, and it's called Tips and Clips, featuring tips and clips from my various guests over the past few weeks, so we can check that out. Also, if you follow me on Instagram or Facebook at Motivation to Write, that's one word, Motivation to Write, you can also catch the tips and clips because I post them on those two sites as well. Now let's learn a little bit about Miss Noelle Anderson. Noelle Anderson began singing doo-wop songs and writing her own songs before she could read or write legibly. At the age of 10, she began singing publicly and hasn't stopped performing since. Noelle has been a music therapist for over a decade. Before founding Anderson Music Therapy, she established and developed a school-based music therapy program for children through adults with multiple disabilities. During this time, she loved working closely alongside speech, occupational, and physical therapists, as well as teachers and paraprofessionals, and she misses them a ton. Here's a fun fact about Noelle. Her passion for music therapy has been shared globally, as she has used music therapy in both Africa and India. I'm here with Noelle Anderson, and I am so happy. I was telling Noelle that I majored in music as an undergrad, and I would always hear about music therapy, but never really knew what it was and never knew a music therapist. So I'm so excited that she's here because I love learning about new techniques to deal with stress. And as a writer, as a blogger who's kind of learning how to blog, I do find myself under a lot of stress.
I bet.
Like, it's, yeah, like, is anyone reading my blog? What do I write about this week? You know, all that stuff just can, plus I have a day job, so that's more stress on top of that.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you're here, Noelle Anderson.
Thank
so happy
you.
To see you.
Yeah, thank you for having me here.
So I was hoping maybe you could give us a little bit of your background, like how did you get into music therapy?
Yeah, so like you said, most people might not have met a music therapist or really know what music therapy is. We have this general idea of, oh, music is therapeutic. Yeah, I listen to music. It helps me feel better. But that's not music therapy. So yeah, that is therapeutic music. But music therapy is actually when there is a board certified music therapist with an established relationship, a client therapist relationship, and they help, they use music to help that individual meet whatever goals they want to. So that might be emotional, social, something cognitive. We work with individuals that have brain injury. So it might be something helping them with memory or attention skills. We work with people who are working through communication. So it could be like motor wise that things aren't quite connecting in the brain, or it could be just kind of the pragmatics of communication where there's these unwritten social rules that we know, like if somebody's talking, you wait and then the other person talks, you know, not everyone, their brain isn't wired the same way. And so sometimes we have to learn that, hey, kitty, sometimes we have to learn that. And oh, hi.
Oh, there and he is.
This is Schrodinger.
Schrodinger?
Yeah, it's with Schrodinger's cat. It's about paradox.
Oh, okay.
We call her Ding. We call her Ding. But anyway, Sorry, my cat wants to be a part of the show.
No, I love cats.
Yeah, so we basically, as music therapists, we use music to help people overcome whatever barriers they're facing so they can be their best selves at home and in the community.
So that's interesting. You use music to help people reach their goals.
Mm-hmm.
Do people, because it sounds like a lot of the goals are more cognitive goals. Like, does anyone ever have some type of physical pain that music?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we actually work with people for pain management. We work with little itty bitties through older adults. So some of our adults have chronic pain. Some of our older adults have chronic pain. So we actually do use music to help them through that. And it does a couple things. One, when we listen to music, there's so many aspects to music. There's the timbre, there's the melody, the rhythm. If you have words, you have to process the lyrics as well. So our brain is lighting up all over the place mm-hmm. when we hear music. And so that doesn't leave much room for the brain to process pain. So that's mm-hmm. one reason why music can help reduce that pain perception. But then also music, especially even our favorite music, but even with the anticipation of our favorite music, can release dopamine, which is a happy, feel-good chemical, right. You know, helps mm-hmm. uplift our mood. And yeah. so that can combat the pain as well. And then motor-wise, we also help individuals with their motor skills. So if you've ever noticed, if you're walking downtown and there's a musician playing, you automatically walk to the beat. Mm-hmm. And that's because of the way that our brain is wired. It wants to walk to the beat. So we can help people with Parkinson's, stroke, you know, in rehab to be able to walk again more quickly with a steady gait using music.
Right. It's just amazing the power of music, because I could sit and listen to, like, one of my most favorite pieces to listen to is Bach's Air Suite.
Oh, yes.
And yes. I will start weeping. I don't know why I'm weeping, but it will just elicit all these
tears. It touches
tears
you somewhere,
out of
yeah.
me. Yeah, and it's so incredible how music can pull at your heartstrings, as they say.
Yeah.
Can music have the adverse effect on people?
Yeah, it can. It could be harmful, you know, if for a couple reasons. One, if say if someone has an addiction or something and it reminds them of that time period when they were struggling, it could cause a relapse. Also, there's been studies that show when people dwell too much on, say, we pick music usually that resonates with us, you know?
Right, yeah.
But when people dwell too much on, say, depressing music, that can be counterproductive, because then you get stuck. And so it's good to have the music to express that. It's good to have the music to help you know you're not alone, that other people have felt that way.
Right.
And, but it's also good not to get stuck there.
Right,
that
right.
is not helpful. And what you were saying with the music, with Bach, when you listen to that, or you listen to, you know, if your listeners listen to any song that connects with them, take just a moment to feel like, where are you feeling that in your body? Because when we connect within ourselves, you know, it could be grounding. Just having that awareness can reduce. Sometimes we get like this fatigue and we don't know where it's coming from. And sometimes it can come from the lack of self-awareness that we don't, obviously there's so much stuff going on right now in the world, many things that can be fatiguing us. And if we don't process that, then it can just drain us emotionally, spiritually, physically. And we can listen to music and just be in the moment, and it helped bring self-awareness to your body, to your mind, you know, just being in the moment. And music helps us to be in the here and now.
So speaking of music bringing us in the here and now, I was looking at your, yeah, it looks like you have a few websites, or you have a, you sent me a few links anyways. yeah. And there was one, I saw that you had like this whole section on deep breathing. And there, I had no idea there was so many ways to, like, there was a happy breathing. There was, I don't even remember. It was just like, and I was like, wow, how does the deep breathing tie into music, and how do you use that?
Yeah. Yeah. So if we think about the structure of music and how it's very organized, typically a lot of our Western music is in, you know, 4-4 or 3-4.
Right.
And so it gives us a very standard structure to be able to say, breathe in for four beats, breathe out for four beats. And so it allows our body to get in a rhythm, supports the physical act of breathing, just with having that music there.
So for listeners who aren't like musically inclined or don't understand like 4-4.
Oh, sorry.
You mean, so you would put on a piece of music and then you would kind of just like breathe to the beat, like breathe in for four and then exhale for four and then breathe in another four, right?
Exactly. Okay. Yep.
Okay. And that, yeah, I could, because breathing is essential to just calming down. It's one of the first things you want to do is breathe. I never really thought of breathing to just putting on a song and breathing to it. That's pretty.
Yeah.
That's great. Now, you also talk about progressive music relaxation. What is that?
Yeah. So it's the long version of the word is progressive muscle relaxation, or music assisted progressive muscle relaxation. And what it is, it's so simple. It's just tightening your muscles and then relaxing them. And okay, so just a fist. Yep. Just hold it, but not so hard, not like hard that it hurts, but just gently. And what you can also do is breathe while you're doing that. And then you let go and you'll feel the difference in your muscles. And what you can do it from head to toe, toe to head, whatever direction you want to go. But what happens is it brings awareness to your tension. A lot of times we have tension in our bodies and we don't even know it. And piecing that together with the music, again, helps you be in the here and now, helps your attention to focus on the task at hand, which is to tighten and relax. I use, when I do it, I read a script basically along with the music. So you just follow the directions. And whenever I have friends, I've had friends who have gone through cancer treatments or super stressful times, and I will send them this, the recording of me doing the progressive muscle relaxation, because it helps to reduce pain. Often when I do it in like presentations, people will say, oh, I had a headache and now it's gone. Because that tension, we don't realize we're holding all this stuff inside. And just tightening and relaxing allows us to let go of some of that stuff. And so it can affect us, that physical aspect can affect us emotionally and psychologically as well. And having that music with it supports all that.
It sounds like a guided meditation, kind of. Like a physical aspect to it. When I was first learning about energy healing, because I studied energy healing for a few years, I went to this, there was this, I guess it was kind of like a seminar in downtown LA, and it's called Pranic Healing, this particular.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, and he taught us, he said to do this every morning. You wake up, you stand up, and you just like tense your muscles really tight and you take a deep breath and hold it. And then you just release it really fast, release everything, like all your muscles. And it wakes me up. Like it just energizes
sounds
me.
Sounds like it would.
Or you would stand, like another variation, stand and like put your arms like this and tighten everything. Hold your breath, do your arms like this. And then like release everything, put your arms down. Yeah. But it was just that contracting the muscles and then releasing them. It is like you say, it brings awareness to the body and it felt really good. So
The other neat piece with pairing music is if you use the same music every time, then you can actually train your brain. When you hear the music, your body will automatically relax. So it's
Right.
called autogenic something or other, but it basically trains your brain to relax when it hears that sound. So
That's
you can also use that
interesting.
for sleep too. That's what I do.
Right, because your brain recognizes it's that music is almost like a trigger. It says like, okay, it's time to relax or you're
Exactly. Yep.
safe, right?
Exactly.
So, can we talk a little bit about like music and memory, like not just this memory, but like your body's memory? Because I remember watching this documentary on Netflix like a few years ago, and it was about these elderly people. And I think you actually talk about you work with someone in dementia in your YouTube video, but they have dementia and like couldn't not remember hardly anything. It could not hold a conversation with at least not like a,
Was it Henry?
Henry.
The music and memory?
The name of the documentary, you mean?
No, yeah, the name of the documentary, was it music and mem was it
I
music
can't
and
remember
memory or
it, but
memory?
I think it was something like that. But
Yeah.
there was this one man. Oh, I think it was. His
Was it
name was Henry.
Henry?
Okay, yeah. So you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
So he like would hear, I don't know if he would hear a song and he would just start singing it, and then it would trigger all these memories, and then he would start telling all this. And it was so shocking to see how music just gave him so much clarity for like a moment, and then he would just kind of go back into oblivion. But that's powerful. Like, how does that happen?
So a couple things. Music is emotion. It's not just sound. And so our emotions, any emotion, like strong emotion, whether it's super happy or super sad, it gets encoded pretty deeply into our brain. So when you hear music and you have an emotional connection to it, that's one way it's going to get deeply encoded. Then also you think about in all the structure of music, how it's predictable, how it's organized. Our brain wants things that are understandable, that are organized, that are patterns. Our brain wants these patterns to make sense of things. And so because music is so predictable and in these wonderfully organized packages, it's easy to encode that information. That's why we learn our ABCs with a song. All
Or the
these.
state capitals, or
Oh yeah. I never learned that song, but I know what you're talking about. But that's why we put information to a song and we can remember it because it's in this package that's very organized. So you pair that emotion with that organization, and then also the fact that music gets our attention. It lights up our frontal lobes, where kind of the centers for attention are. And so you have a very fine-tuned focus on a piece of music and emotions and patterns and organization, and it's like the brain holds so tightly to that. The hippocampus and oh, I can't remember the other area, but the hippocampus is a main area where our emotional memories and musical memories remain. And they think that one of the last areas to atrophy with dementia is whatever that area is that holds those musical memories. And so that's why a lot of our older adults, even when they can't talk anymore, they can still at least have, a brightened affect and recognition that they recognize that song. Sometimes they can even sing, like you said, with Henry.
And sometimes it has, I don't know if it's called the opposite effect, but I'm thinking in cases where you're like in a car accident and there's a song that plays at the time of the accident, and then years later you might hear that song and it brings up all of that, the trauma of the accident. But
Very
it's so
true.
interesting that it's music's organization that makes it so easy for the brain to kind of hold on to it.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah,
That's interesting. So you also talk about using songwriting so as therapy. So how does that work? Because it can be challenging teaching someone how to write a song.
Yeah. So what I would recommend for, you know, for anyone who is not a songwriter, but if they're a writer, they know their words. They know how to construct, you know, a picture with their words. And so take a song that you know and just change some of the words. You have the melody there. You can find karaoke tracks on YouTube for free. You know, just take a track and change the words. Maybe change a word here and there, or change the chorus, or, you know, whatever suits what you want it to say. Just change it. You're not going to be selling it. It's not like you're breaking any laws.
I was going to say, don't record it. Yeah.
Though there are parody laws, but
Exactly. Okay. And so changing the lyric to personalize it.
Exactly.
It has that, it can be healing.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
especially if you share it with someone. You don't have to, but taking that time to share your thoughts and your feelings with someone else and feel heard and listened to and validated, that is very healing. So if you feel comfortable, you have a safe person to do that with, I would definitely encourage people to do that for an extra healing benefit, you know?
Right. Yeah. I like how you say music can help us to be heard. Like feel valid. And because I think that that's something that we struggle with, especially, I hope not blocking off the mic or something like this. Especially I, as writers, we can feel like we're not being heard because we feel like no one's reading us. You know, no one's responding to us on social media. No one. So if I feel that way, one thing I can do is I can go to take a song I like, and I can change the lyric to reflect my feeling of like, I'm not being heard, but I know I have something valid to say. And I can, you know, use it to uplift myself.
Absolutely. And that creative process as well can help you in your writing, you know, just help you get through, like to get something out on paper separates it from you. And so it can help you just to process and get through if that's a roadblock or a block in your mindset, that can help you to work through that.
Do people come to you a lot with some type of, like, as you say, blockage in their mindset where they really want to achieve, like, let's say I want to be a writer and there's something that is like mentally that I can't get over to even get myself to write. Is that something that music therapy could help?
It could. I mean, it depends what is blocking that. But I mean, it's definitely can't hurt to process that with someone.
Right. Yeah.
Because some people just process verbally, or you can process it musically. If you don't process verbally, I tend to not process verbally. So that's why I'm drawn to music, because that helps me first be like, to get that out, and then I can process verbally.
So what about, so if they don't process verbally, what about physical movement? Like, do we dance in music therapy or?
Sometimes, again, it depends on what we're working on and how comfortable people are with that. But I mean, movement is always therapeutic as well.
Right. Yeah.
So pairing that with, we do work with a lot of kids with sensory needs and stuff like that. So, but we all have sensory needs. We all need to move. Sometimes we need, we need to feel grounded. They call that deep input sometimes, with our kiddos, we will do a muscle.
Right. Like the deep muscle.
Pressure.
Yes.
Pressure. Yes. Okay. trying to get words out.
Right. Yeah. This.
This thing that you can't see if you're just listening to me.
Exactly.
But yeah, like deep pressure in the muscles helps us to feel grounded. And so when we get any kind of pressure into those joints, when we're marching or lifting our legs or moving our arms out or playing drums, that's going to help us feel more grounded because we're getting those vibrations into our joints and help us know where our body is in space. And that sometimes we are so lost in our thoughts, especially right now with all the stuff going on. It's easy to get overwhelmed. And so sometimes it is good just to come back physically and just move our bodies to the beat. Again, having music that is structured and organized can help to organize our brain. And so we can feel more alert if we're tired. Having some like more upbeat music that has a very steady rhythm. We can also, you were mentioning with was it meditation? You had mentioned before. If we need to calm down and just kind of relax our body, then we listen to music that's more calming and relaxing. That's a slower beat per minute. It's all pretty common sense when we think about it.
Right, right.
You know, faster music, more awake, slower music, more relaxed.
Yeah. You know, I think there might be some people that would hear this and think, you know, that just sounds like it's for kids, all the singing and the dancing and the movie. Like, how can I, a 44-year-old adult, like, how is that going to help me? I don't have a singing bone in my body. I don't have any musical talent whatsoever. And I don't want to feel like I'm silly. I don't want to look feel. Have you ever had people come in like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially when I go to do like presentations that people aren't used to. I think we're told so much as adults that like, oh, you got to be proper and you, you know, but we actually, it's really healthy to tap into that childlike state. And sometimes when we need to talk about those blocks, sometimes those blocks come from our childhood. And so sometimes we need to be silly and tap into some of those past events and things to work through them, those past emotions. But also, if you think of just the physical benefits of singing, deep breathing, helping to expand your lungs and stretch those muscles. Also, it can release, if you sing out, you know, sing out loud and strong, can release immunoglobulin A, which is an antibody that helps boost our immune system. We need that, you know, we need that. Also, singing with other people right now is not so much recommended, but if it's with your family members, singing can release oxytocin, which is a bonding chemical, helps you feel closer to other people. Singing can release dopamine and serotonin, so uplifts you, helps stabilize your mood. So if you think about some of the, if you need to think about some of the more scientific things to help ease your mind and be like, it's not silly, it's scientific, then then it's all about the mindset there.
I think that that's why what makes choirs so fun and meaningful for people, because you're singing with this group of people, and there's something about creating music together that does bond you. And it's also very healing. I loved being in choirs all throughout college. I was in choirs, and it was after the end of the day, because I would have a choir, I was in like a few of them, but there was always one at the end of the day that would meet, and I would just, and I just would feel so, like, I could go to choir practice feeling tired, and then afterwards, I would feel so energized. It's just something amazing about that.
All the neurochemicals in there,
So how would you... So let's say that I came to you and I said, you know, Noelle, I'm feeling, as I was mentioning earlier, I'm feeling a little stressed with work and with writing, and I really like music, and I just want to know, like, can you advise me or help me on how I can use music to relax myself, to kind of take away the stress?
Yeah, I would first recommend the progressive muscle relaxation.
Okay.
Because you can take that anywhere you are.
could I choose my own music for that, or does that, or should I be using a specific type of music for?
You can choose your own music. What I recommend is ideally music that doesn't have a beat. Music that
like that new agey type.
Yeah, ooh. That's what I like. But everyone has their own preferences.
So. Yeah. I laugh because I work with the teacher that she would play that type of music in her class. Really? And the kids seem to not mind, but I would walk in and think, Oh my gosh. Meanwhile, in my classroom, I was playing like top 40 and the kids were like singing while they're doing their work. And she's like, awesome. What is going on here? Anyways. So
It can be. I would recommend whatever you find relaxing, but ideally something that has a steady volume and a steady tempo. If you're going to go with something that has a beat, just to be steady, so it doesn't, as you're doing your relaxation, so like, whoa, it doesn't scare you.
Right.
But yeah, you can totally pick your own music, and that, you know, find something that helps you relax, that you relate to relaxation. So that might not be the same as me.
Right. So I'm going to find some relaxing music, preferably something that is meditative and not, you know, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. Right?
And I'm going to inhale and contract my muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And then exhale, release my muscles, but to a like rhythmically.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be precise. So I usually just count like, I don't know, 6, 8. it doesn't have to be precise.
Right.
Just hold it for a little bit. And you're going to go with every muscle group. So, and you can do one side at a time. So even like your eyes, you tense, your whole like face, you make a goofy face.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Your neck, you can tense just by tilting your head back a little. Same thing with your back, and just really gently. Your legs, you can tense by just lifting up your leg. Mm-hmm. Then the what is that bottom muscle of your leg called? I can't remember, but the bottom part muscle of your leg.
Yeah.
You can tense that by straightening your leg or by lifting your foot up. Mm-hmm. And then you can even like curl your toes to tighten your toes. So literally every muscle group you're going to work through as you're listening to the music one by one. Notice as you release the difference between, I would start on one side. So notice the difference of your side that you release versus the side that's still tense.
Mm-hmm.
And again, bringing awareness to your body, bringing awareness to just relaxing all those muscle groups. And at the end, I often have people fall asleep.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But if you don't want to fall asleep, well, some people still fall asleep when they're sitting, but I recommend to sit up in a comfortable position and just try that. If you do need to sleep, then lay down and do that. And sometimes that will help you fall asleep. So if that's what you need for your stress relief, then you can do it laying down and see if that helps you fall asleep. In that case, I would definitely recommend music that does not have a beat, because that's going to keep your brain active and keep that dopamine dripping on every beat, which you don't need necessarily when you're trying to sleep.
Right. And I hope that anyone watching or listening really does try this, because there is something that is very relaxing and powerful about just like giving attention to different parts of your body and really feeling, because when you contract and then release, you just really feel the energy of your body. Like a lot of us aren't even in tune to ourselves energetically. And when you do that, you could actually feel the chi or the energy just kind of moving through you. So that's great. So I could do that. That's the progressive muscle relaxation. I might consider the songwriting.
Yeah.
If I was feeling a little stressed. Okay. We kind of talked about that. Well, you know what we didn't talk about is the guided imagery. I think you mentioned that on your site. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
So, it's related in some ways to progressive muscle relaxation, in that you might pick some like similar music. The guided imagery can be either picturing a place where you feel really relaxed, or sometimes there's specific scripts that go through, like you're walking down a path, you're imagine, you know, whoever you want to be with you, or you can be alone, you know, whatever is the image that you need to feel relaxed, you can imagine that. That's the easiest. There's all different kinds, but that's probably the easiest way way to do guided imagery.
But you're doing it to music.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so sometimes with, in that case, that your choice of music is even more important, because the music can paint a picture. And so you want to make sure it's music that sounds like where you want to go. Some music can bring up images, like the actual guided imagery and music, which is called GIM for short. That is very different than just like a guided imagery. So yeah, we won't go there, but just it's the way that GIM works is, it taps into your subconscious. So you can process things, subconsciously through it's almost like you're in a dream state, when you're in GIM. And so you process things that way. This is just a guided imagery where it's more so less of a dream state, more of a present meditation, Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you know, you could listen to guided meditations on Spotify or whatever.
Exactly, and you just pair music with that,
Right?
Because music supports you emotionally, and helps you stay focused too.
Right. Yeah, and I like how you talk about imagery, because imagery is super powerful in anything, like a story, like a poem. Song lyrics. I'm actually teaching now this hip hop poetry class.
Oh, how cool!
This kind of like last minute class that my administrator put together. So, but we're learning about imagery in poetry and in hip hop, and it's just, it can really bring your narrative to life, and certain images can really evoke emotions from, you know, the reader or the listener. So that's really important. Music, how can music be used to get someone to kind of come out of their shell? Like, does anyone ever come to you that's a little shy or timid and they want to kind of break free from that?
Oh yeah.
And you use music? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because music, you don't have to be verbal, you don't have to verbally communicate. It gives kind of an even playing ground for everybody. And you can express yourself through the music first. And then when you feel comfortable, then you can verbally share. It also gives kind of a, like a topic or a hobby to be able to communicate about. So you don't have that pressure of, oh, I need to talk about myself or, you know, anything like that. You can talk about what's happening in the music or who's playing what instrument. Or also when you're facilitating songwriting, it allows you to, for everybody to give bits and pieces that end up making a whole song. So it kind of facilitates conversation in the songwriting. It helps people, I guess, when you have that structure of music, that expectation, that organization, it takes away some of that anxiety, because you know what to expect. You know, there's a beginning and an end to a song. And so some of that predictability can help to ease anxiety.
Sometimes on Spotify, I'll listen to the, sound baths. I don't know if are you familiar with sound baths? Okay. I love sound baths, because I guess the theory behind it is that music is, produced by vibrations moving through the air, and they, you know, vibrate at certain frequencies, and there are certain frequencies that can like trigger, I don't know what they trigger in your body, but they relax you somehow just listening to, you know, like 440 frequencies
Hertz
or whatever.
Or
yeah. Do you use some of that in your therapy?
I personally don't. That's more like sound therapy, but I do know at least one music therapist that does use like the singing bowls.
Oh my gosh, I love
in her
those.
Music therapy. Yeah.
Yes.
But that's probably more uncommon in a music therapist, more common in a sound, I guess a sound healer or
right,
yeah, they're called sound therapists. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. But to be in that, like that alive, if you're there live and getting a sound bath, it's just the most, yes.
Well, a neat thing that's similar to that is toning. Have you ever experienced that?
I've heard of toning. Can you remind me what it is?
Yeah. So it's basically just, vocalizing on a vowel or a sound.
Yes.
When you have a room, I've done a couple toning groups, and when you have a room full of people toning, again, it comes with that those vibrations and how you just, it's like a bath of sound. And
oh,
it's just so like it gets like kind of that big choir feeling almost, but you don't have to be a trained musician to be part of it. So you get the benefits without having to be a trained musician.
It sounds like you could just go into this really nice trance.
It kind of is.
If you're doing that, because you're probably, are you all toning on the same pitch or are there harmonies?
Yeah, there's harmonies, there's dissonance, there's all sorts of stuff. And I love to create the dissonance a little bit because then when you resolve, it just feels so good.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds wonderful. You know, you mentioned earlier, we were talking about like the shy person that might come to you for help to kind of get out of their shyness. Mm-hmm. Have you found that a lot of times shyness is also an ego issue because you're not, even though you're not like this extrovert that's yelling and getting all this attention, still the shy person kind of feels that it's kind of, everything is all about them. Like they're scared of saying the wrong thing because they're scared of being judged, or they don't, you know, if I do this, people are going to think this way about me, or I can't.
What I have found is sometimes that there could be a lot of reasons, but one could be just a confidence issue, and like you're saying, that self-talk, and that it's so I think you had on your Twitter today, like, question your thoughts.
I saw I was like, is that Noelle Anderson that I'm talking with tonight?
Yes, because so much we have this self-talk in our head that we don't even notice. Sometimes we're so used to it, and we just assume that it's truth when it's often not.
Right.
And so, you know, a lot of times people will think, "Oh, so and so is thinking something about me," and then they're not at all. Like they don't. They're thinking about themselves.
Right. Yeah.
You know, everybody's just thinking about themselves.
Right.
And if we can get out of that, what I call sticky thoughts, by becoming more self-aware, by realizing those sticky thoughts that we keep putting into our brain, that can help our confidence. You know, if we keep telling ourselves that we're awkward, we're too shy, we're weird, we can't talk to people, you know, if we keep telling ourselves these things, they might manifest.
Right.
we're not going to be able to break out of that shy shell because we're always thinking that we're in our own minds and not in the moment, in the here and now. And that's one thing that music can help us do, is be in the here and now and practice being present, just listening to a song for 5 minutes and thinking about the lyrics. Practice being in the moment. If you can play an instrument, just play it for 5 minutes, you know, and be in that moment with no judgment. Practice not judging yourself, which is so hard sometimes as trained musicians, because that's the culture.
I was just going to talk about that because I was thinking when I was in college studying music, it was a very stressful I thought of quitting because it was just every time I would have at the end of the year, I don't know if you guys had this, but at the end of the semester, you have juries where you have to perform. I would always get laryngitis. I would always get laryngitis. Yes. And I remember telling my professor, you know, trying to talk to my professor like this. And he's like, it's stress. It's always stress. But I was caught up in my ego and all of the pressure that's put on musicians to literally be perfect. Everything has to be perfect. And I just wish that we all would have studied a little bit about this music therapy or gone through music therapy ourselves. Maybe it would have made a difference for a lot of us.
I think having some of, like you said, like I got sick every time right before juries too. And it really was the stress, but no one was talking about it. No one was giving us coping skills to deal with that stress. So it just all went into the body and broke it.
And I would just, it got so bad. Actually, I didn't know it was this bad. I didn't know that my stress was so bad until I went back to the same college for graduate school. And I would walk down the same hall that I would pace while I was waiting for them to call my name. And all of that, like just walking down the hall, all those feelings like came over me. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is not the business. But the choirs helped. Like that was kind of what my saving grace was, just being in that space and vocalizing with other people. Just so healing. So how, because when I was in music school, I was in school studying music, a lot of the music majors were men. I was, you know what, and it might be because we had an audio recording major or program. So we had music therapists. Is that a field? Are there mostly women or men, or is it like a mix?
Yeah. So the majority of our profession are women.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't really know why.
Yeah.
It seems like it's more men are coming into the field now, but it's still definitely predominantly women.
Right. Yeah. Do you guys ever do like a couples therapy with music?
We totally could. We haven't in my practice, but totally could.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it would be, I'm just thinking, I'm just picturing it in my head, you know, to be able to share that with somebody else and to be able to express your emotions through a song rather than having to just talk about it.
Right.
It would be, that would be nice. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, music can be so personal to people. Like, so I sometimes feel a little apprehensive as a teacher, like, because I used to teach music. I was a music teacher for like 10 years, high school music. And I'd share like one of my favorite pieces and the kids were just not having it. Like, right? Yeah. And it would really hurt me. Like, how could you not? Like, it had really nothing to do with me. They just didn't like the song. It's not like they didn't like me. But I personalized it. And I wonder why that happens. Sometimes I'm scared to even share like my a playlist to a friend because I'm like, I don't know where I'm even, you know, like it.
Yeah.
Do you know why that happens?
You want me to therapize you?
Has that ever happened to you?
We would have to explore that.
Okay. Yeah. But I'll make an appointment next week.
But I can say that with our teens in school, we actually work on practicing not judging other people's music.
This is a big deal, by the way, like judging other people's taste in music. Yes. You have a lot of music snobs out there. Just saying.
A lot of people with opinions,
Yeah.
But having we use that exercise of listening to all different genres to help people learn to not judge other people's favorite things, you know, like don't just jump to an conclusion just because you've never heard of it before or, you know, whatever that is. And we use the music to practice that skill, to practice that impulse control.
Right. Yeah.
Of, you know, not being like, right. You know, all those grunts you would get from teens. Yeah.
I know those grunts well.
But sometimes it's good to expand our music horizons. And like I hated country music for a long time.
Right.
And then my my really good friend in college, she loved country line dancing. She's like, come with me. And I was like, oh, okay. And the more I heard it, what I realized, the more I hear it, the more I hear, you get used to it. And then eventually it's like, this is not so bad. You know, and sometimes you even think, I like that song.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's that exposure. And then re-exposing, and your ear learns it, you know, it learns to be like, oh, this is familiar, and it learns to be okay with it.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever hated country music. I mean, I've always just loved music as a kid. I always grew up with, and I used to love, I was also a dancer all throughout, like tap and all, everything. But I can remember in elementary school doing square dancing and loving it. I didn't really listen to like country music on the radio until like Trisha Yearwood became really popular, and I bought like one of her first albums, and I was like, oh, I really like country music. You know? But I think it's important that we do expand our horizons.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was just, cause I was a training, you know, vocalist. I just couldn't stand that they sang the diphthongs.
Like the scooping. I think my vocal teacher used to call it scooping.
And the diphthongs, singing two vowels. Didn't like that.
Yeah. But I really want to just encourage people that, like, if you find yourself just kind of being biased or only listening to this type, I only like rock or I only like whatever, really try something else, because you never know what you're going to discover, and it could completely like change your life. I mean, I have music from so many different, I have a music from the Appalachia. I like have this CD.
That's awesome. That's where I am.
Oh yeah. What state are you
in? Virginia.
Oh wow. Yeah, you are. Yeah. That's great. But, it's so, music is so powerful, as you said. And, I'm just so happy that you were here to share all of your knowledge about music and the way that we can use it to help our stress, because I think it's not something that we really think about. I think some of us just intuitively do it, like you're feeling stressed, you put on your favorite song, whatever, but to do it consciously, like the muscle relaxations and stuff, that can be a very good help for people.
Yeah. Or even just sitting in the moment and listening to the lyrics and noting, why am I resonating with this song right now? Even just that. 5 minutes can be helpful.
Wow.
With your self-awareness.
That's great. Yeah. Music to bring self-awareness. I love that idea. This has been so wonderful, Noelle.
Oh, thank you.
Can you tell us where we can find you?
Sure. So my website is musictherapy.com. It's amusictherapy.com. And then I hang out mostly on Facebook. If you search for Anderson Music Therapy, you can follow me there. A little bit on Instagram, not a whole lot, because I feel very old when I go on there.
I don't have one yet, but I'm getting one. I'm
you can try. Follow me on there if you'd like to see a post every once in a while. But the best place to find me is on Facebook.
And I would also encourage anyone to watch your the YouTube clip that you sent me with you working with the young lady. That was really touching. Where can we find that clip? Oh, I could just post it. I could post it.
Okay.
Do you mind if I post it?
Was it the talk that I gave at the Hoot and Holler, or
it was the one where you had the audience sing that song? That one.
So that's on YouTube, and I think you might be able to find me, but probably just posting would be easy. It's on my website as well.
Okay.
At the bottom of the first page.
Do you have any any like last words of wisdom or encouragement for people who are feeling stressed and don't ever think about music or want to try incorporating music or anything to anybody?
Yeah, so I guess two things. One, is just remember that you are not your feelings. The cat wants to tell that as well.
The cat second that one. Yes, meow, meow. You know,
yeah, when we say I am stressed, it's like it's overpowering us. It's like I am the stress, but you're not. You're feeling stressed. And the stress, that feeling, is just telling you that something you value is being challenged. So whether that's, you feel stressed because you want to spend more time with your family and you're stuck at work. Mm-hmm. You feel stressed because whatever. But the key is to realize, okay, what value of mine is being challenged in this moment? Mm-hmm. That's the reason I feel this way. And so that's the thing to tackle. That's the thing to process. That's the thing to figure out a solution for, so you can overcome that feeling. And of course, I encourage you to use music to meet all the areas of self-care, whether that's physical, spiritual, emotional, social, psychological. There's ways we can build music into our day, physically moving, like you said, to the music, exercising with music helps us it feel easier. Also, listening to music maybe when you're praying or reading a spiritual book can help you to focus and get more in tune with being in the moment. Listening to music and processing your emotions, like we talked a lot about today. If you can socially distance with some coffee and listen to some music with a friend, you get the social aspect and you get the emotional aspect with being able to share that music with somebody, and then maybe learn a new instrument, psychological, self-care, keeping your brain limber and learning something new. We're never too old to learn.
Right. You can pick up a kazoo, right?
Oh, yeah. Kazoo choir.
Those are great. There was this commercial of like last year. That was great. Was it Facebook or something? I think it was a commercial for Facebook, but yeah, that was great.
Like Facebook groups or something.
Noelle Anderson, thank you so much for joining me. This was great.
I had so much fun talking to Noelle Anderson. I love the exercise where you tense up and then you release your muscles to music. I hope that this episode inspired you to use music a little bit more therapeutically in your lives, because it really does help you get in touch with your body, get in touch with your feelings, and it can help you to de-escalate, especially at the end of the day, to just kind of cool down into sleep. So I'm very grateful for Noelle. Tune in next week. I am excited to have motivational speaker and author Sir Amazing. He is going to be talking to us about how we can live a life of courage, how we can live a life of purpose, how we can lean into success, how we can become better versions of ourselves. So that's next week, Sir Amazing. I'm excited for that conversation. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye.